Thank y'all for putting the stuff up here. I go into 88 different nations now. We're in 16 war zones that are actively fighting. Things are hostile most of the time where I'm at. I work in Mexico. I'm not going to give you much explanation because there's people that want to go there from here, so I'm not going to scare you too bad. But things have lit up again on us. And so we need y'all praying, please. All right. Well, first I want to introduce y'all to the person besides Jesus most important to me. All right. Jesus. Ms. Hogan actually came first and stayed. And then Jesus came and stayed. And now between the two of them, we got a pretty good deal going. This is our 49th year to be married. And the more I travel around the planet, the more I'm finding out how awesome things are for us. Because we really do like each other. And most of the time. And then we really are still in love together. And I don't let anything or anybody mess with us. Period. Ms. Lynn, I have that spirit as well. I'm very aggressive, and I mean it as well. You want to say something? You're welcome to. You can say anything you want. They'd rather hear you. So I know you know, but that's all right. Thank you. So I love you, Mom.
Love you too.
Thank you. And I'm coming to y'all literally from everywhere. I just got back from two things around the planet. So we can talk about a lot of different, any continents you want to, but I got a couple of ideas. The other day when I was over at with Georgian here in Harrisburg, I shared a miracle about this leper, and I want to share it with y'all too. If you was there, I don't know if you was there or not, but if you was, you got to put up with it twice. But there was some life-changing things happened to me. I've got a fresh touch of God on my life. I'm not joking and I'm not playing. I'm not going back down and I'm not bluffing. Do you understand? And I know y'all live in a perfect area. This place is awesome. It really is. It's nice and cool. Look out there how cool it is. I like that. Thank you. He was trying to tell me he wanted to warm it up. I was going, no. Because I just spent lots of time on the equator in a really scary war zone. And it was rough. 100% of the men where I was just at are missing an appendage. Either their eyes, one of their arms or legs, because the ones that wouldn't fight for the bad guys, they just chopped them up. And boy, it's pretty rough. But I got invited to go there. I don't know if I'll share. I might share some of it with you, but not right now. But I just want you to know. Several of y'all have commented on my thinner self. Well, I'm going to make you mad, and I'm sorry, God, for lots of reasons. I'm not broke. I'm not mad. My marriage is good. My kids love Jesus and work with me. And I just had, they wanted me to put it up. I said no, but maybe I should have, because here we are going to it now. My first great-grandson was just born. And look at that little boy. His name is Fletcher. First great-grandchild. That's a big deal, y'all. Yeah. I'll see him actually Thursday. They're coming up to be up. I had to let my granddaughter-in-law, is that right? That sounds like a long word. Just granddaughter, I guess. She grew up with us in the mission field. Her mom and dad worked with me for 30 years, and then she grew up there, and my grandson and her got married, and so that's what's happening here. But I was letting her have a month off of rest after the baby, which will actually end up being 2 months. I worked that out for them so they could, the boys are working, but she's being protected by me, so. That's how you roll in my world. Okay, so anyway, they're coming up here. They're going to be, I'm going to Wisconsin Tuesday. Cheeseheads. Wisconsin, cheeseheads. Actually going to be in Green Bay. I was really hoping they was playing football, but they're not. So. Okay, so my family's doing well. I'm not broke, but there's two things more that are going to really grate on you, because I am now 68 years old and I'm healthy. I see lots of young people in here. If I could make a suggestion to you, which I know you're not going to listen to me because I'm old now, but make a couple of 4 or 5 good decisions and stick with them. And you won't see any results at first, but you will in a minute. Because here I am now, traveling 300,000 air miles a year now, going to 88 different nations, all 6 continents that has people, preaching every corner, all these war zones, and I'm healthy. And it's amazing to be at my age and have energy. And it's not because of me. It's not because of a gift. It's mercy. Now, there's 3 things I want to share today. Unless you don't want 3, you can have 1 or none or 3.
Whatever you got.
Well, there's a lot, but 3 is... 3 seems like doable in a time frame, you know. What happened to me, you know the Bakers, Heidi and Roland, yeah. I work with them a lot now, different locations and so forth. They come to our work, we go to theirs. Now it's a big deal, it's awesome. But I was there in Mozambique, and something happened to me I want to share with y'all, because you need this. I have been doing this. I'm an 8th generation preacher. I do this every day, all year long, somewhere. I don't take and do Sundays. I preach every day. I probably end up preaching 320 times a year. And there's so much fire, but it's so wearing on you. All the travel, all the money, all the the problems, the hate, the racism, the God sucks. And it's hard, y'all. You hear me? Because love needs a good attitude. And some of us don't have that anymore because this time wears you out. Well, I got my attitude up. I'm telling you, there was a good thing happened. Doing all right. I was over. Ms. Heidi likes to use me as a weapon because I'm fierce and I'm non-compromising and I don't have very much tolerance for anything. Jesus is it. Ms. Hogan is next, and after that, there's not a third. So there you are. That's the problem. It is one. And so, it is. Because fierceness has to be in place if you're going to defeat the enemy of God. Not tolerance. Fierceness. We were singing it. Hear me? Fierceness comes. He shelters us. That song you was liking on. We need to understand. Hell hates you.
Right.
You're not going to get along with them.
Right.
You need to get along with Jesus. Yeah. Now.
Come on.
All right. And so we're doing this big deal. Miss Heidi has it all planned out. It's, I don't know, it's lots of thousands of people there. And she's sitting up there, got all this stuff going, which I don't agree with, all the pomp stuff and all that. So I stay in the back and hide. So she goes, "Where you at, David?" So I roll up, I'm right here. She said, "All right, we need fire." And I looked at her, I said, "But you haven't give out your trees yet, your diplomas. You haven't had your little procession. And if you let me up now, God's gonna overrun this stuff." And I said, "I'm not threatening you. You don't threaten her, buddy. She's like me, you don't threaten us. It's just not what you do." You approach us with asbestos gloves, don't you, Mom? And so she said, "I want you to come now." I said, "Fine, whatever." So I get up there, I just started talking, just like I am, just talking. Doesn't seem very spiritual. You don't have to seem spiritual. You have to be. So I was just talking, and all of a sudden the fire fell on us. And she said, "All right, let's do a fire tunnel." So we started that, and it turned into two, then it turned into three. I mean, there was so much chaos. I was having so much fun. Like what they were doing a while ago. That is so I like that because it's so against religion. I hate religion. It isn't right. And so fire fell. We're doing this chaos thing. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out how you're going to manage this thing. You can't manage God. You don't manage God. God manages you, buddy. And I'm trying to, because everybody wants me to pray for them. They think I'm special. Dude, I'm not. Jesus is special. What's special is mercy. Now watch, I'm sitting there, you know, and all of a sudden I hear a freight train. And I'm, dude, we're in Mozambique. There ain't no train. And so I'm looking, think, you know, I'm not confused, but I don't understand. How can there be a train when there ain't no trains? And I'm hearing it. It's loud. I mean, it's like, wow. And I'm looking for it. And I didn't left off with the chaos and the miracles. Now there's something else coming at us that I can't see. I don't understand. It seemed so out of order and out of place. And then I saw it coming. It was this, I don't know what to call it. It was a train, I guess. It was, looked like light. It looked like a lot of different things put in a pile. And so I'm trying to dodge it, and it's moving with me. And it's big. And it hit me. Bah! It went through me. It is like sticking your hand in an electric socket. I mean, it's just wah, going through me. Boxcars, train, the whole thing's running through me. Wah, and then there's all this chaos and there's all this excitement. And Jesus has appeared to some people and they're in trances and it is wild. Wah, like that. And so, you know, it takes hours to get over Jesus when he comes. When Jesus comes, there ain't none of this four or five songs, a little offering, a couple of words, and we all go home and watch TV. That ain't how it is. When Jesus blows through the door, he takes over everybody, even the unbelievers, the unbelievers that are here that came to be a spectator, to write down stuff, to talk about, put on the internet. Thank y'all for coming. We sure plan to give you something to talk about. And y'all, this thing, when it went through me, I was so bewildered, I was so shaken up. Close to possessed is the word. And I'm just, and just now I'm vibrating and the whole area is pulsating with mercy and all that. It's pretty nice. And I went home and I'm trying to figure out what happened, what I see. Because there ain't no scriptures for this stuff. There's not a scripture that says, look out. A train is coming. So, I want you to get whacked by this train. I did. It changed me. And so I asked God for the name of the train. And he didn't answer me. You know, never. He don't have to. He just, I don't know. He thinks he's in charge and it just so ain't right him thinking that. Because we know we're in charge. So ended up the name of the train, I don't know if it was an angel, somebody came and told me. The name of the train was Mercy. Wow. And once I figured out what the name of the train was, it hurt my feelings that it took so many boxcars to get all the junk out of me. To clean, because it was running through me. It was like hurting me. It was so much energy, and I cannot adequately describe to you the power of mercy. There is no equal. And we moved from Mozambique down to Sur de Africa. Sur de Africa. Ayúdame en inglés, pues. South Africa. And I'm down there, same story. But this is, there's no chaos, there's no Jesus appearing, there's no people in trances. This time, it's a different scenario. It's a bunch of people that are wanting to behead me personally. And so I'm sitting there, I done manned up, I done soldiered up, it's gonna happen. And I hear the train coming. And I said, no. No, I'm fixing to die. I need to be martyred properly here. And so I didn't get martyred. What happened was the second train finally came into view, because you can hear it way before you see it. And the second train came into view, and I'm trying to move away from it because it's hostile environment. That thing is more nimble than you are, even though it's way bigger than this house here. And when it hit me the second time, it was the same story. I'm being taken away from my environment and being boxcarred of energy are running through me. And and instead of people killing me, all of them got saved. Yeah. And I don't understand. I don't have an explanation. I cannot give you a reason why I get this awesome stuff, because I am not a good person. So I went back to Jesus, and I asked him, what was that one? Because it looked like the same train. It bounced me around like the same train, but it wasn't the same train. This one's name was love. And so what's happened to me personally is I found mercy and love by the train loads. And we're going to offload some if you want it. If you don't, ain't going to affect me or the train. It just won't. I am what's called the blessed of the Lord. I am a son of Zion. And I have found the mercy and the love of the Father. So I need you sons and daughters of Zion to get on this train, because it's hauling and it's powerful. And that's two things. I wanted that, and we'll do the third one in a minute, but I want to read a verse. Necesito un hall también, Debbie, por favor. Y agua también. Hey, gracias. Ábrelo, hey. Messing around out here. God's helping us. I wanted to take her because she's always been a lot weaker than me physically, not mentally or spiritually, but physically. And I've always had strength and energy and vitality and all these things. But I wanted to bring her and do all the way around the planet thing, just for her. I want her to go with me. I've done it several times. I just start at Houston and go all the way around the thing, preaching in every corner, and then coming back through Los Angeles back to Houston. And so I set it up, and we did it. We just got back. Yeah, and it was, I think it was like 58 days and 70-something thousand air miles. But listen to me. everywhere we went, souls, mercy, love of God, healing and miracles, every stop, every, God, that's amazing. And so what I want to try to do is explain to you that Jesus has a plan for you as well. Yes. See, the other day when Miss Patricia was preaching that your yes to God, I'm sitting there looking at her because everything she said, I experienced every word of it before, a few times. Because your yes can never be compromised, and it'll always get you killed. Oops. Hold on that for me just a minute. I'm going to get me some of this. And that doesn't necessarily mean killed physically. There's lots of ways to die and still be alive. People can crush you. Demons can crush you. Finances can crush you. Life itself can crush you. The difference is Jesus. The reason they can't kill me is not because I'm good or authentic or more eloquent or more gifted or more anything than you. We are the same, all of us. The difference is my sight of Jesus. And that brings up a whole bunch of questions. And I'm going to answer a couple of them because I want to. Because I view you not as Americans, but as sons and daughters of Zion. Amen. I need to transfer you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. You are still believing in that other system. You can't and have success. That, I'm not going to threaten you. It's just right. So do y'all know Margaret Court? Some of you older people, y'all remember her? She's the best woman ever born tennis player. Nobody beat her. Y'all's Billie Jean King, every time they met, this lady beat her every time. And y'all don't ever hear about her because she stands up for Jesus instead of evil. What you hear about is the evil people. There's a plan, a scheme, a system in place to deplete, deflate God and His power. So we need to be the people of God and make a stand for righteousness. Just be on fire. You have no idea the amount of miles I do at airports and interstates around the whole world. And every time I get out at one of y'all's truck stops, whether it's a TA, a pilot, a Love's, a Flying J, a Sunoco, a Sheets, or doesn't matter. As soon as I step out of my truck, everybody there looks at me and stops. I'm not special looking. And I don't get out and announce myself. I get out wondering why the price of diesel is so much. Wondering how I can stack some more of it in my truck where I don't have to stop as often. Listen, it's important that you are the image of Jesus. That when people see you, they see hope. They see possibility. They see maybe. When they see you, that's what they need to see. But we're busy trying to be like them, look like them, act like them, walk like, talk like, spit like, pet the same dog as. But that's not who we are or what we've been called to do. And I didn't know that in the beginning when I was in Louisiana. And God blasted me. I was on fire. I went everywhere. I was just fresh out of the game. I'm a pastor's son, 8 generations, but I was so mad at the church, I left all that mess behind. And then Jesus came out there where I landed and got me and brought me back. And he dressed me out on fire. All right. And I'm in the prisons. My friends are in there. I'm in the county jails. I'm at the bars. I'm at all the drug hangouts. I know them all. I know everybody. I know all the pushers. I know everybody. And I just go up straight up to them. Jesus King, Kalabah, Shatabah. And they all just sit down because I was a little made them nervous. Because I still carry my guns. Not now. No gun. And I wasn't afraid of them. And I'm still not. This gives you an edge when you're afraid of Jesus and not men. Now, when I went to Mexico, I was on fire. But I was used to going to all these different places. I didn't have real focus. I was used to going to all these locations and getting a lot of people saved, but I was filling up everybody else's churches. And that's all right. I don't see anything wrong with that personally. Just if that's what God wants you to do, have at it. But then God started talking to me about these villages and about getting these Indians and so forth. I don't have a clue how. So I started asking God for that. And I'm going to show you what happened first. About 32 years ago, something happened that altered my course of life. I was doing good. I was trying to love her. I was trying to love the kids. I was trying to be obedient to God. I was trying to reach Mexico. And everybody I prayed for died. I was not successful at all. Ms. Hogan finally came to me one day and says to me, David, thank you, God, that we're here in Mexico. We've left it all, houses, homes, mamas and daddies. We've done everything. We're obedient. But how am I going to feed the kids? We don't have any food. It never crossed my mind. And that's all you think about. That's why you're bogged down. Because now I can feed my kids and all of yours in this room. You hear me? All of them. All I got to do is tell God I need it. He'll give it to me by the truckload. Not because I tell him, because he saw the future and knew I was going to get involved in it and has the tractor trailer stacked up out there waiting on me to get to that point. That's how I view him now. But back then, I couldn't put one meal on my plate for my family. I didn't know how. Everything's provided. When I walked in, he said, how much food you want? Them bowls are full of stuff over there. All right, so I got to get you from there to raising the dead, okay? And it's like 30 years, but we'll crunch it down. So I'm not going to sleep all night. I got to run in the morning. I gotta go out and get 10 miles. So, look, the other day, I'm gonna get back to this in just a second. I wanna back up, put a little icing on the get mad at me cake. See, one of my boys invited me to run a race. I never was a runner. I was a hiker. I'm the guy that put on my lace up my boots And I'll be gone. My wife won't see me for 30, 40, 50 days. I'll be out in the woods, out in the jungle, hiking. She never see me. Don't know where I'm at. But I never was a runner. I was a hiker. But my grandson got tangled up in this half marathon thing. He said, I need you to coach me, Papa. But I don't run. I got to save my body for the hiking. I got mountains are going to tax me pretty good. I got to be ready for them. He said, I need you, Papa. So he talked me into it. So I started training up and got up. We did it. Then I started doing more and more, as you almost always do. And I started running marathons. And then after a marathon, there's this thing called an ultra. And so these boys come there and they say, we're going to run 100 miles. We want you to do 50. And I looked at them because I had at the time, I had 40 marathons now in 7 years. So I told the boys, see, listen to me, y'all. I've got experience and I can do the job. But sometimes God wants more. And these boys invited me to that ultra, showed me that what I've been doing with God is awesome. But there's an ultra waiting on me. In God. All right. So I started training for this ultra. Now, ultra, 50-miler, you got to start a year ahead. So I started training. And I put in 1,148 miles in 9 months. Training. On top of preaching every day, on top of traveling to all the different continents and around the world. You have no idea. Don't talk to me about being busy. Don't even bring it up to me. Just be quiet. It's you don't want to. You prefer these pet demons you have at the house, these sicknesses. I don't. I like my energy. See me? I like being healthy, but that takes decisions. That takes believing God. That takes doing things other people ridicule you for, that you've gone too far. Are you sure about that? Because let's look at my life and let's look at yours. And let's compare it just on 15 or 20 things and see what we got, all right? I'm telling you, Jesus is King. Not anything they're spouting or spewing or calling out. Not any system that tells you how you have to live and why you must live it. And your genes make you do this, that, and the other. That is bull. That's wrong. Jesus is King. We got this. Y'all, I started the other day on August 17th. The day came for the big run. I made it. I'm at Custer, South Dakota. 6,286 feet. I'm standing there. All the runners. You got these professional there, world-class runners. Forget it. You ain't going with them guys. You got to stick to your race. I need you to get on a race with Jesus and stick to it. Don't be infatuated. Don't be engrafted. Don't fluctuate about your surroundings. Stay focused and stay calm. The end of the line is down there somewhere. And it doesn't matter what's in the middle. Jesus gave you his promises. You have bowed to him. It don't matter what hell throws at you. And I'm right about this. I started the run with 12 young people. Well, anybody younger than me is young. I was the oldest guy. And I'm running. I don't run fast. I'm just steady. You're not going to draw me out. I'm not going to do it. I didn't come there to run with you. I came there to finish the race. That's all that matters. We suffered. There were critters, animals, snakes. There was hot. That trail went up, not supposed to go past 80, it went up to 88. Altitude. Then the storm came. The wind started blowing. It started raining. It was freezing rain. Then it turned into hail. 4 inches of hail fell on us. It beat us. You don't see them kids, but listen to me. What you need to realize that people are watching you run your race. And they're depending on you not crashing, not giving in to it. And you don't know that. These kids, they roll up on me, Paul. And I'm just, you know, slow. It's up. And they run up there and they pull this shoe off. It's covered in blisters. Reach in my pouch, pull out some of them K-tip blister tab thing. Here, put that on there and catch up. Keep on going. After a while, they catch up. Thank you, Paul. No problem. I cannot describe to you what happened to me when I crossed that finish line. Because with me, there were some stronger runners, meaning faster. And I said to them, we was like a half marathon out, 13 miles. And I said to them, I need you to go on. Because I'm too slow. And they just looked me right in the eyes. No, Paul, I'm going to run with you. Because I might be faster, but I don't know if I can finish by myself. But if I'm with you, I can do this. This is important to people. We got this. You hear me? I need you to look at me. We got this. All we got to do is one step in front of the other, and calm and slow. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. And I told my wife, I said, all right, I'm 3 miles out. I need you to get to that finish line. We have been, you wouldn't believe the things, the welts on us from the hail and the bugs biting us and the sunburn, blisters and the everything. Life, it's called life. There's no reason to quit the race. Because when you cross that line, I don't know what it's going to be like whenever I actually finish with Jesus. But I don't have anything to compare it to when I stepped across that line at the end. And when I turned around and 11 of the 12 kids are with me. About six of them collapsed, one step across the line. That doesn't matter. That does not matter. Parents are grabbing them up. Husbands or wives are grabbing up their spouses and they're just crying on them. My son Luis, 30-year-old boy, collapsed on Ms. Hogan. He didn't say a word when we was running, but as soon as he crossed that line, he saw his mama. He grabbed her. That's so awesome. It's awesome that we made it together, and it's awesome that there were people there to hold us. This is important in Christianity. We got this, y'all. I've always liked the big muscle deal. I dropped it. I dropped 14 kilos, 30 pounds for this run. One run. That's how important it was in my life. We got this, y'all. The respect, the amount of people around the planet that you can encourage and help and call out from a broken life, from a broken marriage, from, we still got this. So let me tell you how we got to this. I left my job. I had a really good job in oil field. Y'all understand oil field? Oil and gas thing, so y'all can have y'all's fancy little world. Without it, you don't have nothing. It's in everything you do. So I was making some change. I was a kid, boy. I was making some change. We was pulling down, when I was there living in Fredonia, New York, we was pulling down about $6,000 a month. We was kids. Boy, I don't think any kids should get that. It ruined, it hurt us. So then Jesus came, got her first, then he came back for me. Set us up, put our marriage back together, put our lives back together, and then put us on a trail. We don't, either one of us know how to walk that trail. We're clumsy at best, awkward. Everybody said, what are you doing? Going? How? Wheelbarrow? I had no answers, and I don't have any for you. God is asking me to do some things right now, today, that I have no answer for her or you. But you look at me. What are we going to do? Tell them what we're going to do. We're going to serve the Lord, buddy. We're going to take the step of faith. We are not going to believe in our success or our failure. We are not going to believe in your opinion or not, your criticism or your praise. We're going to believe that Jesus is King. Amen. Right? And so I left that. We had money now. Kids with money is dangerous. It is. But we had money, and they was giving it to me by the fistfuls. I was a good worker. And they wanted me working for them. They paid me big money. And I let them. Well, boy, it was awesome. I don't know how many times we went to Jamestown up there by y'all. And Jamestown, New York, close to Mayville where we lived. And she'd go and fill up the whole truck with stuff. It's only me, her, and a little kid. What are we going to do with all that junk? We got money, we can buy it. But that's not healthy for you. Y'all, I know you want that, but it's not what you need. It's not what you need to be looking for. You need the power of the gospel. I hope all of you are multimillionaires next week. I hope so. I do. But it's not what you need. You need one of them trains. Or both of them. I don't know how many there are. But I've seen a couple of them. And they just change you. Boy, it's this quick. All it does is run through you. You're different. I have seen and done more stuff than anybody. And I have found out that we ain't even scratched the whole top yet. It's on. It's time. It's time. And it's, we got down there, no food, no money. We run out of money finally. I couldn't even speak Spanish good. And then I get down in the woods and find out Spanish wasn't what I needed in the first place. I needed Indian. I'm amongst Indian tribes and they don't speak Spanish much. And then the next thing you know, I hear about this leper, and I want to tell y'all about this leper because I want to. Because meeting that leper changed me as much as meeting Jesus. Meeting that leper changed me as much as meeting Miss Hogan did. And I was a bad guy, and I met her, and she made things better. God put her in my life, saved me. And he put Jesus in my life to save me. And I like them both. And I like Jesus the most because he can do more than her. I want to read something to you. Revelations 21, verse 1. It's amplified. Amplified, good with y'all? Revelations 21, in the Amplified, verse 1. And I want you to want this. But you skeptics and unbelievers, I don't give a flying flip what you do. I'm after you true sons that are literally hungry and thirsty for righteousness. That there is a power for us unequaled. There is nothing can stop us. If we can get on that train, if I can figure out how to ride it, it now runs through me. But if it keeps coming back, I'm going to figure out how to get on that thing. If I can get on it. Verse 1, Amplified, Revelations 21, I saw. Say it, I want to see. See, I want you to. I want that. I can taste it. I want it so bad. See, I go to different conferences. I just been in some really big, famous things. And people, boy, some of them spit mad at me because I'm there. You professional preacher now, huh? You sold out. Man, I want to smack them so bad. And some of them worship you. You're a general. You're an awesome apostle. You're bigger than life. And all that's true. It just isn't. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I saw a new sky. Say, I want that. I want that new sky. I've had enough of this. Religion is not right, y'all. Not a pretense of freedom either. It's got to be from the heart. I was just over there with the musicians in Colorado, that Red Rocks Theater thing. 12 of the top 20 people that y'all made idols out of were there singing, and they invited me to preach. There was 12,000 humans, Americans there. The most well-known singers there are. Boy, it was dadgummit. I can feel the Holy Ghost when they open their mouth. God wants to touch us. But we like our surroundings. And we get comfortable, or we believe they're adequate. We believe they're sufficient. They're not. It don't matter what you get, see, get to be part of. Boy, I can hold you here. I have been with some really bad guys lately that Jesus walked in and got them born again himself. One soldier, your government is looking for him, and he was preaching. We preached together for 14 days in a war zone in northwest Africa just a few days ago. And he's got 20,000 credited kills. That doesn't include his army. He was a bad guy. But Jesus came. Jesus takes away the bad guy. Takes the sky away. Makes a new day. Say it. I want that. Nine prophets have come to me personally from five different nations, have hunted me where I'm, and I'm on the move. Finding me is not easy. I'll let you find me if you found me. I'm on the move. I don't put it out where I'm at and what I'm doing. I'm on the move all the time. Like I won't be here but a day or two, I'm gone. I told you I'm going to Wisconsin. Maybe I shouldn't have. But, oh, you already knew. It wasn't me. But listen now. But these people found me, and look, the words that are coming out of their mouth is 100% the same. There's a new day. There's a new wave. A new hit of energy is coming from God. that has never been before. And that includes Jesus and Paul and everybody. We got a thing fixing to hit us. It's a big deal. It's a new day. It's a new sky. And I'm in. See me? Now look. So I know how to get in, is what I'm saying to you. I've done it and several times. And I'm going to explain this get in to you. Can you throw up that leper, cleansed leper, please? Okay, let's see here. Is there a way to cut these two lights off? Yes. Instead of all of them, just these two? All right, can you see that better? Or maybe, hey, just cut them all just a second, just the back ones too. Not these, they're doing camera thing. Does that help any? Can y'all see that? That's a cleansed leper. And I know it still looks rough to you, but not to me. Y'all, okay. How do you get the leper cleansed? So you've never seen a leper, but now you've seen one that got cleansed. All right. How do you get God to hit you with that new sky, that new energy, so this can happen? I believe that's an adequate question. Their music is perfect. The way they're doing, I like it. The spirit that's here, great. But it takes more than that. Look, we got to Mexico. I'd give up everything. My mom and dad, man, they were so mad at me for taking their grandkids off to a land where for sure we're going to die. And my daddy said to me, dude, don't you understand? Those are bad guys. And I looked at him. You got no proof they can kill us. How do you know they can kill us? Dad, you went to war. You knew they were going to kill you, but you went and put a gun in your hand and went anyway. Don't talk to me about being foolish. Freedom is worth it. You hear me? It did as much to me being in on this as it did for the leper. Because I was all over the place. I was on fire, young guy, burning it down. Somebody say, this needs burning. Ah! I had nothing. I didn't have anything. But I had energy. I wasn't going anywhere, but I was burning everything that I could get to put a match to. It is not okay. We need Jesus to touch people, heal them. How many of your friends are going to have to die with AIDS and cancer before you're going to get enough of that stuff and do something? It's you. It's us. It's we. Have to stop it because we can. That's why. I get down there and we're out of food. We ain't got any. I can't even drive my truck and ain't got no gas. I went there and ran out of everything thinking it's right. Well, it was. But at the end of my ability, getting into his ability is the process that you don't like and you run from that. That is the problem. That's why my job is in such high demand right now, because everybody and their brother knows that we have paid that and that we can do this. I got this. You hear me? God's with me. You just look right up at that leper. I can produce thousands of them for you. But how do you get from my wife asking me, what about the kids' school? What about the kids' food? I ain't thought about none of that. I thought about how I'm going to get Mexico saved. You got to think of all of it. But you can't let Her questions ruin my questions. You can't let my questions ruin her questions, because they're all valid. They are legit, buddy. And the answer is, Jesus is King. And I don't know what else to say to you, except suck it up and quit whining. Now, as a great-grandpa, I have not chilled out yet. I was supposed to chill out somewhere in my 50s. It didn't happen. When the grandkids started coming along, where I'm supposed to take the chill pill and not be so radical. It did not work. It didn't work on my great-grandkids either now. But something did happen. When I got that little boy in my hands, and I looked him in the eyes. He can't remember nothing, you know that. And I reached over there and let the little thing touch my head. Something happened to me inside, just like stepping across that 50-mile thing did. And I went to God and I laid on my face 5 days, no food, no water, nothing. I laid down and I come up with something that I thought I could ask God for, because I got everything. Do you understand? I don't need anything. Hello? I'm healthy. My wife loves me. My kids love me. Do you understand that? My grandkids are preaching tonight in a war zone in Mexico for me, for Jesus. That's a good thing. That is awesome. And I got to come up here and look you in the eyes. And I got to tell you the truth for them. There's a line that, I don't know, that people won't cross it. It's not imaginary. It's real. It just is not a doable thing. Because your yell butts and what ifs have you in prison. And I don't have that prison. I killed them. I don't do yell butts and what ifs. I do Jesus. Let me tell you why, because I crossed that line. I've told you that 3 times tonight. And when you cross that line, don't look back. Just keep walking. Because I told her, I don't have an answer. So let me get my great-grandson thing off the way. I don't want to lose that. I want to do this first. My great-grandson, I went to God about that. Because I'm not supposed to even be alive. Few of us make it to the great-greats and great-greats. It's just not very many people alive with that. Especially with their spouses. And so I went to heaven with it. And I said, look here. I don't have a clue what you're doing. But I want in on it. I know that I have everything. You have provided more healing, deliverance, life, health. I walk through the world literally like it's mine. And I don't get stopped. Government stamp my visas, give me visas. It's illegal for an American to be there. And I get work visas. I don't know why. I have no idea. Don't care. Jesus is King. Shut the mouth. And I said this to God. I held up a picture of that little boy. I said, you see this little boy? First of all, I want to say thank you for him. Now I want to say one more thing. And I want to ask you on purpose. Because God, I ain't asked you for nothing in a long time. Because this stuff now is natural, these healings and deliverances. It's Him. It's Him. All these souls getting saved, 20, 30,000 a year, it's Him. It's Jesus. Right? And it just happens. Okay. So I brought it up to heaven. I said, look, if you can give me 20 years, let this boy get up, keep him healthy, and let me teach him how to raise the dead. See, I thought that was valid request. Don't know if I'll get it, because I'm not going to back away. But I just want you to understand that Jesus is listening and he likes us. And that line is in your mind, not his. It's in your world, not his. There ain't no line. Jesus is king. Hear me? So we're sitting there that morning. I don't know how to get money. I don't know how to get my trucks out of gas. Can't go anywhere. Somebody knocked on the door. So I go there. There's a little widow sitting there. Little widow lady. Got a little bag. I call Miss Hogan. She come. I said, I know you. I've walked to your village before. I've preached the gospel to you. She said, you have. She said, the angel of the Lord came to me last night, glowing, and woke me up and said, you were hungry. I said, what? And I look in the bag, and there's about four eggs, little brown yard eggs, probably a kilo or a half kilo of beans, and maybe it's a little bit of rice and sugar, just a few different little things. I said, this is all of your food. She says, it is. It's everything I got. I don't have anything left at the house. It's all right here. I said, I'm not taking it. She said, yes, you will. I said, I will not. I was raised to help you, not take from you. She said, you're not taking from me. You're going to take this. Now watch what she said. You are more valuable to preach the gospel than I am. This is yours. The angel of the Lord told me to give it to you. I said, ma'am. She said, Brother David, you will not stop God from blessing me. I said, ma'am, I don't have any fuel in my truck. She said, I don't need your fuel. I don't need your truck. I don't need you. All I need to do is be obedient to the Father. So at that moment is where it started changing. Where from the widow's hand came came a change, a blessing started pouring out. And it came from an angel of the Lord appearing to her and her being obedient and us being obedient by taking it. She walked off, no food, no nothing. I told Miss Hogan, I said, fire it up. Let's eat, I'm so hungry. So we went in there and cooked food, and me and the kids, and Miss Hogan ate a meal first time in a long time. But from that moment, is where the change happened. Because I wouldn't bow to it. I didn't know how not to. I didn't know how to change my scenario, but I knew that Jesus had implemented it. And then I heard about this guy. There's a leper. Well, a leper? Well, I'll go cleanse him. You know, everybody laughed. Ah, gah, 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 gah. There ain't no cure for leprosy. Well, you're right. You know, that's a true statement, right? I said, but my Bible says, go, preach the gospel, cleanse the leper. Well, what proof do you have? Don't have any. What proof do I have that the widow is coming? Widow. Which is it? Woman. Woman's a widow, right? Widow. What proof do I have the widow's coming? How do I know that God even spoke to me in the first place? Well, I got proof now. Look up there. It was a long haul, y'all, for God to get me from Louisiana, from that. Well, I was a beast. I was a strong money-making machine. And it was working now. God, that wasn't God for me. Finding this leper was. So how do you do that? I don't know that answer. I know that I was sitting in a chair before I went to work, and the word Mexico came in my mind, and I wrote it on a piece of paper and dated it and signed it. And then 2 months later, same thing happened. I did it again. Next thing you know, somebody calls me up. God spoke to us. You're supposed to go to Mexico. I said, how you know that? I got it written down right here. On this day and this day, the word came into my mind. Well, we know how to get you there. Okay, how? What do you do? And started the process of leaving the United States and going to a foreign country. And I went and learned Spanish, and get down there, it's the wrong language. Okay, and then I hear about this guy, we're hungry, we have no money, there's no fuel. I was expecting things to be a lot different than they were. They weren't. There was failure everywhere. But God said go. Then we sit right here and wait. And then I hear about this guy. And I went around, tried to, nobody would tell me. So I finally went to the government in a little town I lived in. Where's this leper? We know where he's at. Well, I want to go. I want to go. God's going to cleanse him. David, he's not. The man's going to die. And so will you if you get it. We're not going to tell you because you will go. We know you'll go. You're here already. So I thought, okay, what do you do? No one will help. I have no money. I have no assets. I have nothing. So I kept going back every day to the government. And after a month of me showing up and ruining their day for a few hours every day, they had an affidavit ready for me when I got there one morning. Sign it. It says, we told you not to go. You're going to go, and you're going to get leprosy, and you're going to die. Sign it. So when your government gets here, we have something to show them. I said, deal. I signed the contract. And I said, thank you. And I walked off. I said, wait. Where's the leper? And they laughing at me with a little... Don Pedro and their little coronas. They cool, you know. I'm not. I'm a soldier. Soldiers are not cool. And they told me where it's at. They said, but they was laughing at me. It's going to take you 14 hours to get up there. I said, how long it take y'all? 12. I said, why you think it'll take me 14? You're a gringo. You eat cheese and drink Cokes. You can't hike. Oh, man, that made me furious. But they came, and I started hiking. Turned out that's right, 14 hours. Cokes and cheese, it's awesome, but you can't hike. And I was a soldier. I was in way better shape than I am now. And look, I get up there. As soon as I'm walking in the village. It's a little town, village thing. I'm walking in. There's this group of people coming out. I'm like, I wonder where they're going. I move out of the way of them, and they stop in front of me. We heard you. This is what they say. We heard you come up here for the leper. I said, how you know that? You're a white guy. Huh. Okay, where the leper? Oh, no. You can't come in here. You're forbidden. I said, look, Jesus sent me here. We don't care. I said, listen to me. I'm going to find the leper. We thought you'd say that. And they called. Here come the cops with guns. Put me in cuffs. Put a stick through my arms and carried me out of the village. And they said to me, shoot on sight. That's the orders. I said, deal. Shoot me now. Because I know he's here. Jesus sent me. You can't stop me. They pulled the stick, uncuffed me. And I was disappointed because they stood there with them on fire. They ready. So I'm, okay, what do you do? So I went down. There was a manantial down there. Help me out.
Spring
of water. And I went down there, and I'm sitting at the spring of water, and I got made a cup out of a banana leaf, and I'm drinking. Cops withdrew a little bit. They gone. What do I do? I don't know where he's at. He's here somewhere. All of a sudden, I smelled an odor. It was rotten. It was a woman walked out of the jungle. She said, I know where the leper is. And I was expecting a chariot of fire. I was expecting Michael or Gabriel or one of them guys. Glowing, you know, put their hand toward me, a little sprinkly stuff come off, and you know, I go floating toward the leper, you know. I know that's what we believe. That's how we think it's going to float. That ain't, you get a stinking, dirty woman. You don't get Gabriel. You get a leper. A leper's friend is a beggar. Dead gummit. Well, we believe things are better for us than everybody else. They're just not. Life's the same for everybody. You got to have the stinking dirty woman first. And it is not awesome. I live with a clean lady, and I like that part. I don't like that. I said, so where's the leper? She said, I ain't going to tell you. You have to go with me. I said, I ain't going with you. Dude, you stink. You smell worse than a wet goat. She said, maybe, but I know where the leper is. So you had to sit down, your little glowing people and chariots, and you have to take the stinking woman. So I did, and I followed her. I told her, you go over there by that tree, and I'll follow you. Let the wind blow your smell away. It's true. It'll surprise you how brave you can be with a stinking woman. So I'm walking behind her. Then we come to, I'm sorry to all of y'all about this, but it's a whole group of them. And several people that look exactly like the one that's leading me walk out, and they all stink. And I'm going, what the? No, this is not the plan. I need glowing people and floating and tables spread for me in the presence of my enemies. And that's not what I got. I got stinking women. But you know who I am? I'm the soap. You were the soap. You were the answer. You are the person that takes the stink off of people. You are who God is using in our generation to bring cleansing. And it has to do with, in this case, actually outer skin as well. Now look, we got there, and I mean, there were several of them. And I'm just looking at it, because it's a mud hole. They live in a mud hole, and their houses are made out of sticks and plastic. I don't want that. I want palaces and marble and servants and stuff. And this lady goes, thank you for bringing him. And I'm looking at that lady that was talking. I said, and you are who? She said, I'm the wife of the leper. I said, I need you to let me pray for your husband. She said, no days. Who sent you? Okay. His name is Jesus. I said, where's he at? I said, look, I actually haven't seen him yet, but it's doable. It's possible for him to show up. She said, he don't come, you can't pray. Oh, jeez. Look here. I couldn't even get Gabriel. How am I going to get Jesus to come? Dude, I can't even feed my family. And so this is how it went. I said, ma'am, you need to go and ask your husband if I can pray for him. Because he's going to die. There ain't no cure. She said, we've already been down that road. We used to be wealthy. We sold everything we got, try to get him healed. There's no remedy. I said, no, there's not one. You're right. But I found one. I said, I've never seen it work. I read about it in the Bible. She said, what's all that? What, you read Bible? What's a Bible? Who is this Jesus? I said, ma'am, that's why I'm here. Said, suit yourself. Ask him. But he's got a gun. He's got a couple bullets left. And I said, well, whatever. So I go in there. Golly, the stench was way worse inside than these ladies. This rotten fleshed human being. Leprosy is a bad devil. So I'll go in there, and I'd never seen it before, like you hadn't. And I go in there. And there's a man laying there grimacing in pain, and there's banana leaves. And so, I move the banana leaves. What the? Started vomiting immediately. Boom. I wish I could tell you I was strong like you and healthy and all these matters and understand what to do, know how to do. I don't know. I don't even know how to get my wife some eggs for the kids with my faith. Do you hear me? I know you do, because that's how you feel most of the time, but that is not who you are. I'm telling you, we've been lied to. We've been processed like meat. Religion has taken the wind out of God's sail. Religion has taken the anchor away from our soul. Religion has dimensioned the power of the gospel, and it's wrong. And so he heard all that stuff. He said, who's this Jesus? I said, look, if you had money, you knew about Mary, right? He said, yes. I said, listen to me. Jesus is her boy. But she ain't the Savior. Jesus is. He said, prove it. So I took my Bible out of my thing, and I read it to him. He said, all the proof you got? I said, no. I said, I need you to give me permission. What you going to do? I said, I don't know how to cleanse a leper, but I do know how to lay hands on you. I don't know what cleanse a leper means, but I know what lay hands on the sick means. He said, so be it. So I pulled my sleeve up, stuck my hand in the stuff. I lost it all the way up past my wrist. I mean, sickening. I'm vomiting, trying to pray. I'd pull it out of there, and blood and pus and flesh and rotten, horrible. And I said to the wife, I said, get me some water and some soap. She said, I would. Don't have any soap, and I don't have a bucket. So I told her, I said, well, y'all this poor, y'all are thieves. Go get us some. And she's took off. And they come back, it wasn't long, and they got a bucket of water and some soap. Oh, I never did ask them where they got it. Don't care. To this day, I don't care. And I put my hand down there, and they got some grass and scrubbed me. And were you ought to heard them laugh at me. I'm still vomited. I don't have any food. It's that water I drank at the well down there. And it was rough, y'all. All right, it's time to quit. It's old people time to go home, Mom. Let me get him healed and we'll quit. Is that all right? He said, read to me about this Jesus. So I sat down there with these beggars. I didn't have anybody, y'all. And I'm 14 hours away from her with no food. And I just sit there with these beggars and I read the Bible to them. I didn't see nothing. So I told them, well, I got to walk home. I got another 14 hours. So they said, all right, can you come back? I said, sure. So I went down. I don't know, 10 days, 2 weeks, something later, I came back. I rolled up on them. Miss Hogan had gave me a backpack. It's full of stuff. I got up there, dumped the backpack out. Took 16 hours. Dumped the backpack out. You ought to have seen them fight over that stuff. Golly. My wife's dresses, my shirts, a little bit of food we had, she gave it to them. You want to win? I'm telling you how. You don't, you want to be comfortable, you got that figured out already. It ain't on me. I can do this. Still to this day, I can do this. And that guy, I went back up there, same exact story, put my hand in the goo, they cleaned me up. I sit there for an hour or two. They didn't have no food. They couldn't fix nothing. A little bit of stuff Miss Hogan sent. A few weeks later, I go back the third time. It's the fourth time. And I get there. I got a lot bigger backpack. She doesn't give them everything we own just about. Dump it out. And a bunch of stuff, man. And if you could have seen... these kids come running up with my kids' clothes on. And these women that used to be stinking, she gave them all soap and they smelled good and they had her clothes on, her dresses. And I'm looking at our stuff. I don't have any way to get them some more stuff. Nothing. And I told the lady finally after they quit fighting over the stuff, I said to her, can I pray for your husband? She said, nope, he's not here. So what did my mind tell me? He's dead. Dad, come on. I hiked all that junk up here for nothing. And she said, have a seat over there. They don't say nothing. They don't talk much. So I sat down, hour, two. Two and a half or so, 3 hours, something goes by, and all of a sudden I saw this guy right here walking up the trail with a borrowed axe and a borrowed hoe. And I see this guy coming out of the jungle, and I'm looking at him. It was the leper. And I jump up, and I'm looking at him. I said, how'd you do that? And that's the first time I saw that when he pulled it up and showed me right there. I said, hold on. I brought one of them camera things. I took a few pictures. And I said, what happened? Now, you remember the widow lady, the angel appeared to her? This guy says, last time when you left, about 3 days after you was gone, there was a glowing fella came through the roof. I said, what? That's what I said. What? He said, he didn't say nothing. He just walked over and touched me. And when I woke up, I was healed. Listen to me. I ain't got any answers. I've created more questions for you. But I just know that if you'll stay there and you'll walk that mountain and you're hungry and you're human and you vomit when you see a leper and you put your hands on them and you keep going back and keep going back and keep going back, directly that glowing man gonna show up. Yes, sir. And I wanted to tell y'all, because y'all graciously let us come three, four times. I added the fourth for you. I looked to see if you were standing there. Look, I bless you, but y'all want to know what's wrong with me? It's not because I think I'm better or better gifted. No. I saw that with my eyes. I scrubbed that pus and blood and rotten flesh off me, I don't know how many times. And the glowing man backed me up. Amen. You hear me? And now he's sending these freight trains and it's all over the world and we have churches now in every continent and it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And the dead are raised in every continent. It's a big deal. I need you to want the new sky. I need you to want the glowing man. His name is Jesus. You hear me? His name is Jesus. He comes over and over and over. I can't predict him. I can't tell you when he's coming. I can't tell you what he's going to heal or not heal. I just know it's my responsibility to show up and put it out there, buddy. Jesus is King. And I am a son of God and I'm a favorite. And I'm not willing to back down or away, and I'm not bluffing. Shatinahanita. Do you hear me? I need you to look at that picture. I need you to look at it. That changed my life as much as Jesus did. Because the glowing man is Jesus. And he came there and did that. And it has affected me. And I can't be healed from it for some reason. When I saw that, all of a sudden my life went into shape, buddy. I'm healed. Look at me. All these years. Health. I have health. You run around with the glowing man. I don't know where he's at, but he'll be here. When? But I'm going to be, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to find me doing this. He's going to find me doing this right here, trying to talk you in to believe in him. Because he's real. So is that train. And there's a lot more, but I got to shut it down for right now. I got to run 15 kilometers in the morning. Shukaba. Jesus. Holy Ghost. I bless you. I'm not here to curse you. We got this. It's right there in these hands. It's right there. We got it. We can do this. I don't believe you. I already know that. You ain't got to convince me of unbelief, son. But I have to convince you of belief. And I'm really good at my job. I got proof. We done seen the glowing man. Yes. You know, I used to be this tough soldier, wild, serious, and I still am that. You don't need him. You need the grandpa. Keep the grandpa around, please. You pull that soldier up, things change. You need a grandpa, hey? I get way more done with my laugh now than I ever did with my sword. Understand? I still got that stainless 44 7-inch barrel. It don't do the job. It hurts people, man. His ear works. Jesus King. I need you to want this here. But ain't none of it forced. Where that glowing man at? I wish I could get him to come up here and show you. And I ain't certain he won't. But I do know this. He's come so many times. I don't know. I roll up in there. I get beat. I get stoned. I get shot. I get left for dead. I leave and the glowing man comes. Ms. Hogan heals me back and I go back to war. It's how it is, y'all. It's called life. It's full of stuff called BS. It ain't happy most of the time. It's rough. But I need you to come on with it. Let's go. Sons and daughters of Zion. We can go past that. We got this. Hello? And all of us have to live it. I just choose to live mine in praise and worship and adoration. All I do anymore is train. I'm training every day. Pray, shatabadaba, and preach. I don't do anything else, hardly. That's it. That's it for me. My whole life's orchestrated. Brother Dave, that's it. That's it. I got some good foot. I got to go train, dude. I got another marathon. A couple of days. Can't do that. Drinking a lot of Starbucks and eating donuts. But you can do that with Jesus. Will you please stand up? Thank y'all for y'all's patience. I wanted to tell y'all that. Some of y'all have heard me talk about this leper before, and I wanted you to see the picture. Y'all got it. Put it on a t-shirt. Encourage everybody. Leper healed. We got this. Shuta tana ba shata ne tana. Maybe I'll tell you this, maybe, and maybe not. Well, y'all going to tide. There's a story that I just encountered about this fella that was eating a four-year-old girl's heart that he had just raped and sacrificed, and he's naked, blood dripping off of him, eating her heart, and Jesus walked through the wall on him. The glowing man. See, I'm sorry it's not politically okay to speak this in church. Brother Hogan, oh my God. Well, you're right about that. But there's people that want to hear that are hungry. That's who I'm going to. You know I can't be me in front of y'all. Y'all know that, right? But you know I can step outside and go to a heroin den.
Right.
And they don't give a flying flip how I act. Isn't that something? Weirdest thing. But you go to church, and all of a sudden I start feeling the vice of chains being wrapped around me. And religious demons trying to tell me how I'm supposed to act and talk. Oops. So we need Jesus, though, y'all. I'm not calling you out. That's way past that. We got this, y'all. Shatabana. You know what I liked about that story? About that guy, nothing about him killing them babies, because he was on his feet, on my feet, crying, thanking God that I didn't see him before I was saved, or I'd have shot him. Wow. Or he would have shot me. Wow. There wouldn't have been two of us. Holy. We think we're better than that. We're not. It's mercy. It's mercy. It's love. I'm here to tell y'all, what does love look like anyway? It might be 200 pounds, and it might be from a swamp in Louisiana. What is that? What is that like? Come on, holy fire. Touch us, mercy. Get us, mercy. Holy. 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 I really thank y'all for y'all's time and patience and everything. And if you don't know Jesus and you're in this room, I assure you he glows. You should meet him. And he'll heal you of anything. He does me. Of course, you don't know it, but the 28th of August, just 2 weeks after I ran that big race, I got stung by an incurable beast. And I'm supposed to be dead, but look at me now. My right leg died on me. But my nurse spoke of Jesus to me. She said, I will not receive that. You will walk, you will live and not die. So be it. That's the nurse. The fifth day of not walking because I can't, because the thing is broke off, a tornado showed up in the backyard, a real live, kill you tornado, blow the house up thing. And here I am dragging my leg, going out there, open the door. It blew me. I'm holding on to the door. It blew me outside. And I'm looking at it. It's right there. I mean, screaming and cursing me. The roof lifted right in front of my eyes. My leg had broke off. Hell is there to kill me. I told my son, get my coat. I got to talk to this devil. And they drug me outside. No joke. This is no joke. August 28th. It was September the 3rd. And I go out there. I wouldn't let him come. And I'm dragging his leg. It don't work. And it's bleeding. God. Boy, that's rough. You hear me? Yeah. I got the same life you do. Yeah. I'm standing there looking at this thing turn. Boy, she's screaming. Can it get any worse? Yeah. Lightning fell out of the sky, and there's 8 lightning bolts all the way around me. I'm going, are you serious? And this is what I said. If you could have took me, tornado, if this sting could have got me, and if this lightning can have me, it would have already been done. Now get the hell off my property. Yes. And what happened, Ms. Hogan? What happened? It left. And I drug myself back in, leaving a blood trail, and my nurse said, shouldn't have done that. Should have stayed in the chair. Yes, ma'am, patch me back up. I got to go back to work. You got to heal me. Yeah, I'll get that. I'll get mine, she says. This is awesome. Say it.
Awesome.
There's a new sky. There's a new day. It's for me. Say it.
It's for me.
In Jesus' name. Daughter of Zion, nothing less. So, yeah, I felt the pain. I felt the electricity. I felt the roof blast by me. Felt it. But you can't see it on me now. We fixed the roof. It's done. And my dogs didn't get killed. I was grateful for that. Killed my dogs last time, didn't it? 12 puppies. Got them all at once. One lightning bolt. Not this time. Ain't that something? Now, I know this is scary to most of y'all. Because you don't confront life. You hope you can hide in some hole in the ground or some cave and let it go by. Whew. It ain't going by. It's hunting you. You get out there and confront it. Call it out. Jesus key. We got this. So if you need healing in your body, if you need fresh oil, if you want this thing, I'm not going to pray for everybody. How am I supposed to do that? I'm old. It's past 10 o'clock. But I do want to pray for some of you. You don't need my touch. That's not what it's about. It's that glowing man. You got to find him. Because he's with us. He's with every one of us. Okay? All right. So if that's what you want, come up here and make a couple lines and somebody will do something. Hopefully we got it figured out. I don't know if you gang up, pile up. That's better on me. That means I can't get through. That means I can go home. Oh, God. Holy. Holy. Ain't going to do no good. Shataba. Fire. Told you. Oh, yeah. Gracias. Gracias. Oh, wait. What are the tune makers?
Tune makers.
I didn't get your name.
Aaron.
Do some of that brightness again, will you? Hold on. If you want to. Because that glowing man somewhere close, I feel him, I'm telling you. Look at here. I know everybody believes in lots of different things, but I've done, this hand right here has raised 37 people from the dead. This hand, look at it, chopped off. Look at the stitches. The working man thing. 37 dead right here. And guess what? I know what it feels like when they're getting up, and it feels like I feel now. It's called faith. It's the glowing man's fault, I promise you. It's never us. I have to climb the stupid mountain with the backpack carrying that dumb food. That gum, it's heavy too. You'd expect one of them things to get behind you and pick it up or something. At least send a fiery chariot or a wind or something to bring you. Something. I know it's what we want and that's how we think, but most every time I have to walk, I have been, what you call it, when you're taken through space, transported. I've been transported like, I don't know, a bunch of times. That's awesome. I don't get that much. I might, there's a new toy. I might tell y'all about it. Not now, it's too late. I got to go home. I bless you. Hear me? Everybody's the same. We're equal. Everybody's the same. Hear me? I'm telling y'all, I bless you. Hear me? You see me, my earnestness. I believe we can do this. I don't believe you and I can. But that glowing man, what he put in us, that's the real deal. Them lepers get up and walk. Them dead rise. Them blind see. And I like me some of that. Holy. If you're in here and you're incurable, raise up your hand and y'all look around. See, there's 4, 5, 7, 8. Somebody touch them. In Jesus' name. Fire. Holy. 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 Y'all lay your hands on these folks. Jesus' name. Holy. Yeah. Holy. Thanks for the halls, for the menthol, honey, lemon thing. Fire of the Lord. I bless y'all. You hear me? Things are going really well for me. Let me tell you who you got to turn into. Oh, hey. Que vaya orando por las cosas, eh? ¿Está bien? Okay. See, last year, the bad guys lit up on me. It's hot in them. ¿Está bien? ¿Todo bien? She calls me up on the thing. She said, I need you. I said, I'm coming. I got my visa. She said, but they're beheading Christians by the hundreds. I said, yes, ma'am. What does that have to do with me? I'm coming. See, you need to be the person that can be depended upon. That you're going to go to war when it's time to go to war. I understand the fear. I live in it continually. But it's not about the fear that's around me or even making me shudder. It's about not bowing to it. I'm already bowed to a king. We've got to turn into that soldier that's reliable. Because she called me back. She said, I know you're bringing your granddaughter. I said, I am. She said, I need her in this war zone. I didn't say nothing. I kept my mouth shut. Ain't my daughter. But I went to my son. Looked him right in the eyes. Joseph, I need your daughter to go with me in the war zone. He said, I'm going, Dad. But I can't speak for her. Let's ask her. Now, this is a 16-year-old kid. I said, baby, I need you. Yes, sir, Papa. I said, but we might not come back, baby. She said, Dad, and you going to be there? Yes. I'll be fine. That's who you need to be to people. It's easy. It ain't hard. You know, everybody tries to make it complicated and all these rules. It ain't none of that. You just need to look at that glowing man and say, come on, please help me. He'll be there. Holy. How is it, baby? Bless you, darling. Fire of the Lord. In Jesus' name, release into her spirit. In the name of Jesus. Be great. Jesus. He is my raging sea. You understand that? He walks with me through fire. Heals my diseases. Holy. Holy.